What is good, everybody? Welcome back to yet another episode of Talking Hoops with Kev Luke. Back at it again today, Tuesday, April 9th, as always. I hope all you guys out there are doing well. Hopefully, all you guys are doing good. And this right here is a message to myself, but because it's a message to myself, I feel like I owe it to you guys to also tell you. And if it helps just one person, then so be it. That's what I'm here for. And that message is focus on yourself. Right now, more than ever, the world is in a crazy place, and there's nothing wrong with that. We've been through this a million times, but focusing on yourself, mastering yourself, cultivating yourself, building yourself up is one of the best investments that you will ever pay into. So please just focus on yourself. That is all that matters at the end of the day. But man, it's been a minute since I've last spoken to you guys. We got a couple different topics that I want to talk about today. But of course, we're going to start with last night in Phoenix, Arizona, the national championship game where the Final Four was hosted. UConn repeats. UConn goes back-to-back to win their sixth title since 1999, which is coincidentally the year that I was born. So they have six titles since 1999. 25 years, they have six championships. In this game, they beat Purdue by a score of 75-60. You had Tristan Newton, who won Most Outstanding Player of the Final Four. He had 20 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds. You had Stephon Castle, their 5-star freshman, who was going to be a lottery pick in the next few months. He had 15 points and 5 boards. Did an excellent job of guarding Brandon Smith the entire game. Then you had Cam Spencer early in this game give them a huge lift and boost. The transfer from Rutgers, he finished with 11 points and 8 rebounds. And on the other side, you had Zach Edey finished with 37 points and 10 rebounds. So I want to salute Purdue first just because, yes, I'm a Michigan State fan. Purdue is quote-unquote our rival. But what Matt Painter has done these past few seasons in the regular season and, of course, this year in the NCAA tournament have been nothing short of spectacular. For his team to have the regular season that they did have last year, fall short by losing to a 16 seed in Fairleigh Dickinson, and then bounce back this year and just be 40 minutes away from winning their first national title, that would have been amazing. But nonetheless, if you are a Purdue fan, you should be happy. You should be excited for the future. You should be grateful for this team. And just a big salute to Zach Edey, man, because he never really got the proper credit from me, if I'm just being honest, because I'm not a major fan of his game. But I got to give credit where credit is due. He's been an absolute force. He's been one of the most dominant bigs we've seen, not just in the Big Ten, but in the entire country for the last few seasons. He is a dog. He's going to get his shot in the NBA. And I got to respect it, man. In this game, again, he finished with 37 points, but it didn't even feel like that, if I'm just being honest. And yet, here he was, did everything he could in his power. He will Purdue all season long. He was the entire focal point of that offense. His conditioning, his strength, his finesse, his skill, his footwork. He has improved upon his game in almost every single aspect that you possibly can. And that's one of my favorite things about college basketball. It's not just the one and dones. It's not just the guys that go to the NBA, but it's the guys that stay the course at their respective university and they get better year by year by year. And that's exactly what Zach Edey did. And he took Purdue to an entirely different height. Matt Painter finally reached his first Final Four as the head coach of Purdue. He was probably going to finish with more before his career is all said and done. But they accomplished a major thing for that program and for that university. And again, I got to salute everything that Purdue did for Braden Smith, for Fletcher Lawyer, for Lance Jones, for Caleb First, for Trey Kaufman Wren, for all those guys. Major salute. You made the Big Ten proud. You made your university proud. And you have nothing to be sad about because you guys did and had an amazing season this year. But getting to UConn, again, man, what else can I say? When you look at the way that this team played, the way they were connected, the way they had the chemistry, they had the defense, they had the wings, they had the guards, they had the big men, they were the most complete team, and they were the best team in the country all season long. And when you look at Danny Hurley and his staff, for them to win 12 straight NCAA tournament games by double-digit points is insane. That is a run we might not ever see again. And Danny Hurley came out and said it before this national championship game. I think he might have said it before the Final Four, but he said, "We are making a tough tournament look easy." And some people took that the wrong way. Some people got a little bit in their feelings, but he said nothing but facts. Facts back that up. When you're winning by double digits consecutively in the NCAA tournament, that speaks to your greatness. And I'll be the first one to admit, you guys probably remember, a few years ago, I didn't really call for Danny Hurley's job. I was just wondering, when is UConn going to get back to being UConn? Because we all know UConn is one of the best programs in the country. They are a blue blood through and through. Anybody that says differently is crazy. And after that New Mexico State loss a few years ago in the first round of the tournament, I believe, thanks to Teddy Allen, UConn has just been on a heater. And Danny Hurley has figured out the recipe. And that is my favorite thing about it, is they know exactly what they're doing. They know how to identify NBA talent. They know how to keep it in stores for a year, maybe even two. They know how to use that transfer portal, whether it's whether it's Cam Spencer, whether it's Hassan Diarra, whoever the case may be. Alex Caravan, they recruited in. He's a redshirt sophomore, I believe, so he's not a transfer. But they know how to get in that portal, and they know how to identify talent out of the high school rankings. And that's what you have to do. You have to have a healthy blend of both. And you can use that experience from the portal, and you can use that experience from guys that are sticking in your program for 1, 2, 3, sometimes even 4 seasons. And for them, they got the recipe, they got the formula, and I just can't do anything else but salute them, man. This is a historic run. Danny Hurley deserves all the contract raise that he can possibly get. For college basketball schools out there that don't have a coach right now, I don't know why teams are not trying to get dudes to become head coaches from his staff, because clearly they know what they're doing. And so UConn, man, is back at the top where they belong. This was a dominant run. All their players to me were amazing. Again, Stephon Castle is going to be a lottery pick. Tristan Newton has been one of my favorite players in the entire country for the past 2 seasons. And for him to be a back-to-back national champion as a starting point guard is unheralded. Honestly, it truly is. And he needs and deserves his respect because he came over from Eastern Carolina. He's from El Paso, Texas. He's a 6'5 point guard. Even the coaching staff from UConn did not think he was going to be able to be as great as he has been. And for him to be a starting point guard at that, for a back-to-back national champion, I mean, we really got to have the conversation about where he ranks among Big East point guards. And I'm not saying that he's the greatest, but I'm just saying for him to do that speaks volumes about him, because that's not easy. And we all know it's been a lot of legendary point guards come out the Big East historically. Everybody was talking about Tyler Kolek, rightfully so. But when Tristan Newton does something like this, we got to have them conversations. So big salute to him and just everybody on this team, man. Donovan Klingon is a guy who's from Connecticut. He's been through a lot, losing his mother. He's still here. He's going to be an NBA draft pick. He stayed the course for 2 seasons. Didn't play that much last year as a backup. He was pretty good, had some solid minutes behind Adama Sanogo, but he stayed the course, came back to school, and he was one of the most dominant centers in the entire country this year in college basketball, and it paid off. And so, again, I got to give all of Husky Nation a standing ovation. I want to salute to UConn, Danny Hurley, and everything about that, man. Congrats to the Huskies, their 6th national championship. And honestly, right now, the way it's going, it's probably not going to be the last one for him, because back-to-back, I mean, that means you're in a tier with only a few other guys, with Coach K, with Rick Pitino, with Coach, you know, Wooden. It's a very select few that got multiple national championships. It's even few that have won, but to get multiple at one school and back-to-back years at that, come on now. Shout out to Danny Hurley. He's done a hell of a job. But let's get to some news that honestly kind of blinded out and blocked out the national championship game. As much as I hate to say this, this was kind of the case. And over this weekend, it was some rumors. I was looking. It was some rumors that John Calipari was going to leave the University of Kentucky and accept the head coaching vacancy at the University of Arkansas, which, of course, is also in the SEC. Now, how did all this start? Let's talk about the domino effect that this is a part of. At first, you had Rob Lanier, who was at SMU. I believe he was only there for 1 season, had a pretty successful season. I believe they won 20 games. He got fired because they're leaving the American and they're going to the ACC next year. So he gets fired. Then you had Andy Enfield, who was out here at USC. He decided to leave USC and take the job at SMU because he knew his time was coming to a brief end at USC. So he goes to SMU. Then the USC job is left open. So what happens, Eric Musselman, who's a West Coast guy, he coached for the Warriors. He's lived in San Diego. I believe he went to school in San Diego. He leaves Arkansas and takes the job out here at USC to join the Big Ten. So that leaves open Arkansas. And that's where we are today, as John Calipari, I believe tomorrow, will formally and officially be announced as the next head coach of the men's basketball program at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And so to me, when I first started to see the rumors and the rumblings of this news, I was kind of surprised, but I wasn't at the same time. Because if you go back, right, when Kentucky this year lost in the first round to Oakland in the NCAA tournament, at the end of that game, it was a shot. It was a brief shot of Calipari leaving the sideline. And then behind him in the stands was his wife and his son, Brad. And all three of their faces looked like ghosts. And what I mean by that is you could kind of tell that their time was coming to an end in Lexington, Kentucky. Because if you're Kentucky, just like UConn, your standards are sky high. Your standards for most seasons are championship or bust. And especially with this Kentucky team to flame out as early as they had, it's tough because this was the first Kentucky team that John Calipari had that looked like a Coach Cal Kentucky team since COVID hit, right? Between Rob Dillingham, Reed Shepard, all those guys, Big Z, Adu Thierro, Antonio Reeves. You had a lot of dogs on this team. And for them to fall short, it was just a gut punch, especially because the last 2 years prior to this year, last year you lost to Kansas State, which is fine. I believe they were a 3 seed in the second round. The year before that is where all the problems began because you lost to a 15 seed in St. Peter's as a 2 seed. And I believe that might have, no, that was the first round, right? So when you're having first round exit, second round exit, first round exit this year, that's not acceptable at the University of Kentucky. Those fans have higher expectations than that. They want to win a national championship. Coach Cal hasn't won a national championship since 2012 with Anthony Davis. But for the Kentucky fans out there, do not try to diminish what this dude has done. Me personally, I've always said that Coach Cal's impact off the court is much greater than what he's done on the court. Because yes, he's had the one and dones. Yes, Kentucky has the most max contracts in the NBA. They have a lot of all-stars between Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns. The list goes on. De'Aaron Fox, Bam Adebayo. It's a lot. But to me, the things that Cal has done when it comes to integrating the one and done, he's been a big guy on supporting NIL. He's been a major piece in trying to get summer basketball games for college basketball for guys to get better in the summer and have opportunities to play real games and meaningful games in the summertime instead of waiting all the way until next winter. Calipari to me is like Sonny Vaccaro. And for all my real hoop heads out there, y'all know Sonny Vaccaro is one of the biggest and brightest figures in all of basketball, period. What he did at the AAU level, what he did for high school kids playing basketball around the country. Calipari has had that type of impact at the University of Kentucky. He was there for 15 years. He went to 4 Final Fours. He had multiple seasons finishing with 30-plus wins. And yes, a lot of his success was at the early stint of his career. And yeah, the last few years have been kind of brutal, but we should not diminish what he did for that university and for that program. Because yes, Kentucky is Kentucky. Kentucky is one of the best programs in college basketball. But Calipari, if I'm being honest, he took them to another level. Whether people want to admit that or not, he just did. But at the same time, when you've been there for 15 seasons, that's a lot of time. And it's a saying where it says, you either live long enough to be the villain or you die a hero. And so to me, I think this was the perfect time for Calipari to leave Kentucky and take a job like Arkansas. And the rumor is now that he was actually, once the season ended, he was looking at a few different jobs like Ohio State until they hired Jake Diebler, like Michigan. I guess that didn't work out. They ended up going with Dusty May. And even he inquired about coming out here and being the head coach of USC, but that didn't work out. And Eric Musselman took the job, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. So for him to take Arkansas, it's not going to sit right with a lot of Kentucky fans out there, but I think this is a great opportunity for him and honestly for all parties involved, because Kentucky, they needed the split. Cal, same thing. His family, they just had to get somewhere new. And for Arkansas, a lot of Arkansas fans were very upset with Eric Musselman for how he departed from Arkansas, because a lot of fans knew that he was searching around for other jobs. And based off what happened this past season, they had a tumultuous season that they felt like Eric Musselman wasn't fully engaged with what was going on with his current team, with, you know, Trevon Brazil, with Devo Davis, with Khalif Battle, with Tremon Mark, with Mitchell, right? You had a lot of guys on that team, but this season was bad. They went last year, this time last year, they went and hit the transfer portal hard and heavy. And they invested a lot of money into that team, and that team didn't even sniff the NCAA tournament. They tried to at the end of their season, but they didn't. And so Muss leaves. And again, I want to say to Arkansas fans, don't be mad at Muss, because Muss, Mike Anderson brought Arkansas out of the grave, right? And then Muss carried that torch, and he got them back to being a respectable basketball program and being competitive, right? This dude went to two Elite Eights and a Sweet 16 in a five-year span. A lot of programs around the country would kill to have a resume like that. And yes, did he leave the cupboard bare? Yes, it's not a lot of guys there. But Calipari, if it's anything Cal knows how to do, it's recruit and bring in a roster. And this searching hire for Arkansas was very interesting, because it started off with Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director of Arkansas, posting a video on Twitter making it seem like Eric Musselman was going to return as the coach. That didn't happen. Then it sounded like they were going to go after Chris Beard, who's at Ole Miss. They decided they're not going to give him the job, or he's not going to take the job. Then they went after Jerome Tang. Then Tang agreed to an extension with Kansas State. And then it was like, okay, where is Arkansas going to go? And then out of nowhere, out of completely left field, Arkansas snags John Calipari, a Hall of Fame coach, away from the University of Kentucky. And with that move, if they fired Calipari, Kentucky that is, they would have owed him, I believe, about $32 million. And so instead, because Cal decided to leave on his own merit and take another job, they don't owe him a single cent. So I love this move just because it's a fresh start. Arkansas has high expectations, but they have slightly lower expectations. He stays in the SEC. And I think Arkansas's fan base is a little bit more rowdy than Kentucky's. And you've heard players say that. When you go into Rupp Arena, a lot of players say it's just a bunch of old people that are just sitting down waiting for something to happen. If you look at Arkansas games at Bud Walton Arena, that's one of the most electric venues in all of college basketball, not just in the SEC. So to me, Calipari, he's going to sign a five-year deal. He's 65 years old. He's going to have time to build his roster. You're already seeing guys from his class of 2024 recruiting class from Kentucky decommit, most notably Carter Knox. Within the next few days, I think Boogie Flan's going to decommit from Kentucky. I think Jaden Quince is going to decommit from Kentucky. I think they'll still keep Travis Perry, who's an in-state product from Kentucky, so I think they'll keep him. But I think Billy Richmond's going to decommit, and you're just going to see the dominoes fall. But I love this for Arkansas. A-plus hire by Hunter Yurecek. Arkansas is going to be nastily relevant. And the biggest thing to me of why I think Calipari is going to be successful in Fayetteville is because he's going to be more motivated than ever. He's going to have the ultimate chip on his shoulder, because he feels like, and some rightfully so, but the Kentucky fan base turned on him. And they had the right to do that. I'm not saying that they were wrong to do that, but they turned on him. And they turned on him fast. There was a lot of people after that Oakland loss saying, you got to fire Cal. You can't bring him back. And even though Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director for Kentucky, said that we're going to bring him back, Cal said, no, it's a wrap. I got to move on. I got to take a new venture. And that's exactly what he's done. And to me, Arkansas is going to stay and I think ascend a level with the hiring of Coach Calipari. Now that leads us to the final piece of this, and that is who's going to take the Kentucky job, right? Kentucky is arguably the best job in all of college basketball. And you're already hearing rumors about Danny Hurley. You're hearing rumors about Scott Drew. You're hearing rumors about Billy Donovan. To me, if I'm Danny Hurley, I'm not taking this job just because I've already built back UConn. Why would I go somewhere else unless I just want to truly challenge myself and etch myself in a different category, whatever that case may be? Why would I leave UConn? I just came off back-to-back national titles. I have all the resources that I could possibly ever need. I'm from the Northeast. I'm not from Kentucky. I'm not from the South. I don't really fully get Kentucky, right? So if you're Danny Hurley, I'm not leaving that job. To me, this job is going to come down to three guys. In my opinion, I think it's going to come down to either Scott Drew from Baylor, Billy Donovan, who's currently coaching the Chicago Bulls, and Bruce Pearl, who's at Auburn. I think those are the three guys, in my opinion. And Bruce Pearl might be a long shot. I honestly feel like Bruce Pearl is throwing his name into the hat more than Kentucky's actually trying to get Bruce Pearl, but I don't think Bruce Pearl will be a bad hire at all for Kentucky. But I think the first two options are going to be Scott Drew and Billy Donovan. Scott Drew, to me, I could see him taking it just because Kentucky has much more resources at Baylor, but it's kind of the same thing to me with Scott Drew as it is with Danny Hurley, in the sense that I've built up Baylor. I've been here for 20 years. I won a national championship. I'm getting one and dones every single year, at least one, right? So why would I leave this situation for Kentucky? And again, Kentucky's a great job. Do not get my words misconstrued whatsoever. But at the same time, if you can build up Baylor and make them a national powerhouse, you can do anything. And yes, he can have success at Kentucky. I'm just looking at it from my perspective. Again, why would I leave for Kentucky when I built up Baylor? People forget, when Scott Drew got to Baylor, Baylor was in the dumpster of the dumpster. They were in the absolute gutter. You could not get any worse as a program than what Scott Drew inherited when he first got to Waco, Texas, and took that job. Now he's a national champion. Now they're looked at as one of the best programs in the Big 12, and they're only going to get better and better. They've had some tough times a little bit since Jerome Tang departed for Kansas State, and he's lost a few other coaches like Grant McCaslin to Texas Tech and Paul Mills, who's at Wichita State right now. But for the most part, Scott Drew has done a great job of building that program. But if I'm Kentucky's athletic director, that's priority number one. Then you have Billy Donovan, which is very interesting because if we're just being honest, the Chicago Bulls are not going anywhere anytime soon. Yes, the Lonzo Ball injury has been very detrimental to anything that they want to do with that team. But if we're just being honest, you cannot build your team around Zach LaVine. You have a better chance of building your team around DeMar DeRozan than Zach LaVine. So to me, if I'm Billy Donovan, I'm recognizing, okay, where is this team going? Which is clearly nowhere. All we are is a playing team year in and year out. Can we make a little bit of noise in the playoffs? Yes, but honestly, this ship isn't going anywhere anytime soon. So I think Billy Donovan at Kentucky might work. The challenge with that, though, is since the last time he coached college basketball, it is a completely new landscape compared to what it is right now in 2024. Right? You have the transfer portal. You have NIL. You got a whole bunch of things going on, right? It's a whole bunch of collectives. It's a whole bunch of outside noise. It's a whole bunch of bad influences, if I'm just being honest. So to me, I think those are going to be the main two guys. I think that's who Kentucky should prioritize. It's going to be interesting when the news officially breaks, because I think they're going to have to move fast on this. But when that news does break, I will be back here to talk with you guys about that. But all in all, I love Cal to Arkansas. I think Kentucky's going to get a hell of a coach for themselves. I don't think they're going to go too far away. I don't think they're going to drop. I don't think they're going to be down for a few years. I think they'll figure it out. Again, salute to Purdue on the great season that they had. Big salute to Zach Edey. Got to commend UConn for what they've done. They're dominant. They're back at the pinnacle of college basketball. This is their game right now. UConn is college basketball. They've proven that with six national championships since I've been born. Again, I'm only 25. Salute to them. And may they keep going. And then my last real quick shout out. I got two. The first one is Caitlin Clark, because it's been a lot of noise about Caitlin Clark, whether it's good or bad. But her and that Lady Iowa Hawkeyes program have done amazing things. To get to two national championship games in back-to-back years, even though they fell short in both. Last year was the LSU. This year was the South Carolina. What they've done for the women's college basketball game and just women's basketball as a whole, you can't say enough about. Between her, between Kate Martin, between Gabby Marshall, even this year, Hannah Stokey, they've done a great job at representing the women's basketball game. Major salute to her. I cannot wait to see what she does in the WNBA. She's more than likely going to be selected with a number one overall pick, which is going to go to the Indiana Fever. So I'm excited to see how that plays out this summer. But just salute to Caitlin Clark. Salute to that Lady Iowa Hawkeyes program. They did major things for the game, and I can't wait to see what all those different women do as their careers play out. And then on the other hand, Dawn Staley. Dawn Staley rose her third national championship at South Carolina. And I cannot say enough about this woman. She is a major figure, not just in women's basketball, in basketball, period. From Philly, she's had an impact playing, now as a coach. What she's done with that program out there in Columbia, South Carolina, cannot be overstated. For them to lose as much talent as they lost last year between Bree Bill, between Aaliyah Boston, between Zaya Cook, between Letitia and me here, they lost a lot of talent. And what did they do? They reloaded, kind of like Calipari used to do at Kentucky. They brought in Tessa Johnson. They brought in Chloe Kitts. They brought in Malaysia Fulwiley. They brought in a whole bunch of talent on top of the talent that they already had, right, with Camila Cardoso. Brought in Tahina Pau-Pau, right? So to me, Dawn Staley is one of the GOATs. For her to get her third national championship, she's only going to get more. She's not done anytime soon. This entire team, for the most part, outside of Camila Cardoso and a few others, is going to be back. Those freshmen are going to be a year older. They're going to have more experience. They've been undefeated. They went undefeated this year. That was always my concern about them. I didn't talk about it, but I was so concerned that they weren't going to win a national championship just because they're facing an additional pressure of finishing their season out undefeated. But what happened? They finished their season undefeated. And so that is a testament to Dawn Staley, her staff, and all of her players, trainers, managers, and everybody that is affiliated with that program. They had a hell of a run. They're going to continue to dominate the women's college basketball game, and I cannot wait to see what they do in the foreseeable future. But as always, with that being said, this has been another episode of Talking Hoops with Kev Luke. Please like, comment, rate, review, share, subscribe, all those things. If you made it this far, I appreciate you. Have a great rest of your week. Enjoy your spring. Get ready for the summer. Stay fit, stay in tune, stay active. And as always, peace and love. Gone.